أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه المنتجبين. السلام عليكم. I'd like to share with you today a very important topic to do with our life, with our living, with our journey, with our discovery of the truth, with our ibadah, and that is to do with the urgency, the continuous urgency of us performing our duties. So we need to define or dwell upon the meaning of urgency, the meaning of time, and the meaning of duty. If we are to truly revive our hearts, live our deen, renew our deen, we need to first grasp the meanings and the directions of the map of existence, and then to follow it. So you realize you are in the divine city. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, إِنَّكَ فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ فِي الْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طِوَى. A voice comes to Nabi Allah Musa, says, take off all your presumption, take off your shoes, take off your protection. You are already in the divine valley. Where is it that Allah is not? The earth is His, the heavens is His, the air is His, the birds are His, you are His. So it brings about that urgency, that immediacy of higher awareness. We as Muslims have been endowed with this tremendous heritage of the Quran and the way of the Prophet, the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the teachings that were fully living and transformative teachings. But unless we dwell into it and imbibe it, we will remain pseudo-Muslims by name and have not been transformed, illumined. So, if you look in the Quran, you find hundreds of ayahs to do with ilm, knowledge. Well over 800-900 ayahs. And about half of that to do with amal. And they go together. And these are the foundations of duty. What is your duty? Duty to what? And when? And how can one duty become more important than the other? And so on and so forth. Because you and I are living entities. It is not a machine. It is not mechanical. You may have a duty towards your family. You are taking your grocery back home. And suddenly you find somebody is crossing the road and he or she is blind and you can see the traffic of Joburg, what it is. Invariably, he or she is going to be run over. So you abandon your first duty of rushing home with your groceries to helping this person to cross. What happened? How did this priority change? It's basically that you see yourself as the same self as any other human being. Allah Azza wa Jal says, I created you from one self. And from it, it's pair. So you realize the other person potentially is the same as you. So you have sympathy, compassion. And this short-lived duty of helping the person to cross the road will only take a bit of your time, and then you go back to your old, if you like, habit of caring for the immediate family and so on. So there is a constant hierarchy and change of duties. Now the question of time, asr or waqt, is a key issue. If you do not experience it fully within yourself, then we will remain unfulfilled. Time is Allah's trick, which has given to the children of Adam to realize that originally they are from no time, from non-time, from the eternal garden. We have many, many ayahs in the Quran that alludes to this. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. There was a time that you and I could not say we are living in time or in this world. This is Allah's laboratory or kindergarten, which is based on time and space. We originally are a ruh, that is from before time and space, is caught in this prison of time and space for us to realize the perfection of Allah's lights. Wherever you look, it's an aspect of His light. To realize that Allah's lights and His perfections are what we are seeking all the time, in time. So that we are ready to return to the garden of eternity, where there is no time, and there is only perfection. So that's the whole story. Allah has designed it that we are caught in this changing, constant change, good to bad, up and down, breathing in, breathing out, as the movements of shadows that never stop, so that we appeal to the highest in us as a reference point, so that we can make sense out of nonsense. And that is called dhikrullah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أعظم. We have to perform the perfect rituals and the perfect ways of our glorious Prophet. And Allah says, performing salat stops you from committing errors. So it's all by avoiding errors. لا إله. No. Yes, it's always there. The dhikr of Allah is everywhere. How can ever we forget that which is the source of remembrance and forgetfulness? It is pre-memory. The knowledge of Allah, the light of Allah is before any patterns of existence. Allah Azza wa Jal reminds us in the Quran in so many ways to show the urgency, the importance of the moment. If you miss the moment, you probably have missed a lifetime. There are a few ayahs I'd like to share with you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابَهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ Surah Al-Anbiya. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, your accountability is close to you, but you are distracted. The next ayah, same surah. ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون. Whenever a new reminder comes to them from the unseen, to them to watch out, wake up. إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون. They hear it, but they are playing. Interesting word in Arabic is لعب. لهو ولعب. لعب implies distraction. In Arabic, these words of playing or sport is akin to salwa. Tasliya is that. It means to be distracted from the truth. It's amazing how the original meaning of sport or games or whatever or entertainment is to be distracted from the truth. Because the truth is so much, so effulgent, such high voltage that you cannot take it, so you start fooling around. So Allah says, constant awarenesses comes to them, renewed all the time, that there is only Allah. There is only the one source of every pluralities or every opposites. But we can't take it, so we start fooling around. Allah Azza wa Jalla also said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They see the reckoning far, but we see it near. Those of you who are health-oriented, you know that if you have a negative thought, it will register in you. You become ill. Illness is only a reflection of your wrong attitudes, wrong thinking, wrong habits, wrong lifestyle. So Allah in His Rahmah gives us these mirrors continuously to realize what is basically wrong. What is basically wrong is that we are not performing our ibadah perfectly. Performing our ibadah perfectly, how can it happen? Unless you have an understanding of Allah's ways, and Allah's patterns, and what is acceptable to Allah and what is not, so that you see always the perfect light behind what appears to be confusion. Your own destiny. There are so many occasions in our life that we are not happy with what has happened to our destiny. But if you stop, look back with the higher light in you, you see it was perfect. You put your foot wrongly, you thought wrongly, you went wrongly, you deserve it. So it's Allah's rahmah to show you. If you don't see perfection within every instant and every situation, then your ibadah is not full. Then you are not holding hablullah. It's as simple as that. It doesn't mean you do not experience injustice. It doesn't mean you do not see things outwardly are out of balance. You do. But you equally see the message behind it. You also see what is Allah showing us, that collectively we have sunk into abuse, into love of dunya, into forgetfulness, into lack of readiness for departure. So the urgency ultimately is our willingness to depart. Now, the trick of time is that you and I function in time, but our ruh is from non-time. So you are both eternal and ephemeral. The body will have to be returned because it is borrowed. The ruh and the nafs will continue. So this is the model we have. If we as Muslims do not live it fully, then we are not worthy of our heritage. Then we are not thrilled. Then we are not illumined. Then we are not delighted. If you are not delighted, then we have missed the message. The message says Allah is, Allah will be, Allah was, Allah before you, Allah is after you, and you have been created in order to know Him, love Him, adore Him, be with Him. I mean, if this is not the ultimate glorious gift, I don't know what is. In our teachings, time is described like a sword. Al-waqtu kal-sayf. إِنْ لَمْ تَقْطَعَهُ قَطَعَكَ. If you do not cut it, it will cut you. That is why you see people say, next time, next year, and it will never happen. So what it needs is to do your ablution, be in wudu, you are sealed from the outside distraction, bismillah, and plunge for your own sake, so that you are going to be led by the highest in you, which is your ruh. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا واعمل لآخرتك كأنك تموت غدا. Work in this world as though you're going to live forever. It means postpone the worldly things. You need a new car, don't rush for it. Next few days. I have not bought a camera because every year there is a new model, so I'm waiting for the next model. So leave your worldly affairs. It doesn't matter, postpone it. But then he also says, and work for your next life as though you're going to die tomorrow. It's the last hour you have. So what you say will be real. What you think is focused. Your state is infinite now. Because the minute is infinite. We have from the prevailing cultures descriptions of duty. It says there is not a moment without some duty. And do the duty that is nearest to you, and the next becomes clearer to you. Negligence of duty will obscure the truth for you. Because we neglect, you see. Oh no, I don't want to hear. Because you have been selective. Allah has given you a challenge. Ask Him to help you to deal with the challenge. The problems cannot always be also resolved. But if you are willing to face it, they will dissolve. Wherever the problem arises, the solution is there. Be Abdullah. Be helpless in yourself and hopeful by Him. And then you find creation are all right. You will find they're all fumbling, mumbling. Everybody's doing their best. Whether kafir, Muslim, mu'min, or everybody's doing their best, but some of them without a map, without a direction. Others think they have a direction and a map, and they are even fumbling worse. Practice what you know. And what you don't know will become clearer to you. It is ilm wa amal. These are the two to go together. Knowledge and action. Act upon that which you know. What you don't know will come to you clearer. And the next action will unveil for you more. Be honest. Be correct. Be ready to leave it all. Because you never had it all anyway. We are all the time practicing higher consciousness, which is that of dream. The dream is closer to the truth than this world. You puzzle over that. This world is solid. The dream is more subtle. And Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us the entire business of the deen is based on الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. The seen world is a tip of the iceberg. There are billions and billions and trillions of energies and entities of angels and others that we don't know. So, it's not just a question of belief in the unseen. We know the unseen prevails over the seen. I am here now temporarily in the cage of the body, in the seen. We leave it. And we yearn for sleep. Now, the question of sabr. If I say urgency, you say, but what about sabr? There's so many beautiful ayahs in the Quran about patience. It's Allah's name, As-Sabur. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah here addresses the Prophet and therefore addressing us. He says, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولِي الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسِلِ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ. Have patience. The same way as the great ones, Ulul Azm means those who have constant, persistent determination. The great prophets. We generally, traditionally, have been told that they are the five great prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Musa, and Nuh, and Isa, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, people who were determined, 950 years, Nabi Allah Nuh, who was repeating the message, O people, you will bring upon yourself the catastrophical events by your actions. He could hear the rumblings of the earth, the abuse of the environment as we are doing now. We have hardly left anything in this world now, unpolluted. The seas and the skies and the everywhere you look. The Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was saying the same thing. He said, O people, change your direction. Stop this. You are going to be doomed. Until at the end, Allah's inspiration came to him that save yourself and the representatives of creation. And they floated until the flood subsided. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْتُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. People who are patient will be given their reward twice. Now, contemplate this ayah twice. Look at Allah's mercy. Once is when you have stopped in patience, then you begin to see things as they are. One of the greatest prophetic du'as is, Oh Allah, show me things as they are. Not colored by my own biography and by my own expectations. You must have expectations, but do not be colored by them. Put them aside every now and then. Take the colored glass out of your eye. See things as they are. It's an avalanche now overwhelming the world. The entire avalanche of love and worship of the world is everywhere. There is not a hole in the world that has not been filled by a polluting car or a polluting bank account or some. Look, this is the time we are living in. If you don't see it with that, you will be misguiding yourself, misleading yourself. You must see how everybody is poisoned. You must see how everybody is overdrugged by allopathic, legalized drugs, and the side effects are far more and worse than what the drug is supposed to do. And if you don't see things as they are, then we're living in fantasy. We're just preaching in thin air. We'll not get anywhere. That is why, if there is going to be a true change and revival in the hearts of Muslims, it's going to be by stopping first, taking stock of the patient who is hallucinating. So twice you get your reward. Once seeing things as they are. Look, it is so sick that you must run away. This morning before coming here, I had a friend calling me from Malaysia. He lives in England. He was on his way just an hour ago. He was telling me that he made the biggest mistake by traveling on Gulf Air. And he said the behavior of some of these Gulf boys was so obnoxious that everybody was disturbed in that flight. He said, when we landed, I gave them a big talk. And the staff of the aircraft applauded. because they couldn't say much. They suddenly found, because he's an Arab, this friend of mine, who's quite, you know, well-known and dignified, so he gave it to them. So I told them on the phone, I said, you are now going to teach them to be hypocrites. They were revealing who they were. And now here you tell them, no, hide it behind a smoke screen. So we laughed. Look, Baba, it must be real. It's no use trying to put a little nice thing, alhamdulillah, and inside of you, you are full of anger and full of hatred and full of jealousy and full of, you know, who are you hiding from? Allah knows. So be one. If you are not one, how can you talk about the one? Let alone come close to know the one. So you will get your reward twice. First, being real now. Second, it will pass. It will change. We are all the way on our way to the garden. We are practicing here the garden, avoiding the fire. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلْنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ. Look at Allah's amazing depth of knowledges that He shines upon us through the Quran. He says, and I will afflict you. You will have problems. Every day, every moment, every hour, you will have a challenge that is disturbing. So that we know who are the people in jihad. Jihad meaning what? Exerting energy to unveil the truth at all its levels. In Arabic, the word jihad is taqa, energy. Mujahid is exerting energy. As best as you can. By hand, by mouth, by mind, by limbs, by... You know, it's not just this jihad, there is outer jihad and inner jihad. You're all the time in jihad. You're moving your hand, you're moving your limb, you're sitting, you are in jihad. But jihad for what? And jihad must be appropriate to you at that right time. Jihad is also silence. Jihad is also having patience. It's a big jihad to be patient upon things that you want, that you know they are not allowed or halal. This is jihad, stop it. Jihad upon difficulties that you are in. Be patient. If there is nothing you can do for the time being, be patient. Allah wants you to practice patience. It's another gymnastics. It's another exercise. Be patient. 5 years patience. It's not a big deal. No. So Allah says, so that I know, we know, you know, who are the people in jihad? وَالصَّابِرُونَ وَالصَّابِرِينَ. And those, so it means patience is greater than all forms of jihad that we know. Ultimate. But it doesn't mean that you can use this or misuse it for, you know, a bit of a clever manipulation of the knowledge. You can't do that. You can't say now, if there is a time for us to rush out and help or do something, people afflicted in flood, say now I am in sabr. This is not sabr, this is shaitan. Really? No, I'm exercising patience, I'm sitting here. No, we all know what is the truth. You know, no, you can't fool all the people all the time. Although it's sometimes quite near to that when it comes to banking and the financial worlds. Really. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says also, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, مَنْ عَمَلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. The word islah, salih is key in the Quran. Amal, action, knowledge, and islah. To do the right action. Islah sometimes is to be silent. Islah sometimes is to stop the other person. Islah sometimes is to warn people. Islah some other times to give them the good news that Babajan, you are Adam's son and Allah has created you for the garden and the design is in you. Just follow the map. Don't constantly make a big accident. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, he who acts correctly, appropriately, whether male or female, in iman, in faith that Allah is the guide, Allah will guide us. Allah is with us. Allah is before us. Allah is after us. Allah's rahmah encompasses every situation. Then Allah ends up the ayah saying, فَلْنَحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Certainly, they will come to live a most delightful life. A most sweet life. That means our life now is biological. It's simple. Real life is to awakening to eternal light. The light of Allah that is energizing us, that was there before us, that is within us, that will also take us out of this world back into the world of no time, no space. Therefore, the urgency. If you can't do it now, when will you do it? This postponement is لعب وله, is dispersion, diversion from that which is too powerful. Delay it, delay it, delay it, delay it. And Allah reminds us in the Quran, your account is near. Whatever thought you have is going to be registered in your cells. It's urgent for your sake. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, "In ahsantum fali anfusikum." When you do ihsan, when you act appropriately, it's for your own self. Allah doesn't need it. We need it so that we see His reflections and His lights everywhere, so that ultimately His light overflows in our heart, which is His arsh. So the urgency of appropriate action is upon us all the time. And our duty is to truly know that there is none other than He. Our duty is to know and live forever by the knowledge of La ilaha illallah. And the reflection of it and the echo on this earth is Muhammad Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, our duty is that. Our duty is to acknowledge falsehood, that we have no independence. And our duty is to acknowledge the eternal truth, that wherever you turn, an aspect of it hits us. Even falsehood is the reverse coin, the other side of the truth. Allah has allowed creation of lies, injustices, falsehood, simply as indicators of what is the other side of it. So where is it that Allah's rahmah is not? Where is it that Allah says in the Quran, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا ثَمَّ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn is the manifestation or the face of Allah, is the light of Allah. So, this is the great news. As Allah describes it in the Quran, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا. We first sent you, O Prophet, O followers of the Prophet, to witness, to see things as they are. And then مُبَشِّرًا, the good news, that Allah is in charge. Even the greatest mess in the world, Allah is in charge. Allah is allowing us all collectively to suffer collectively so that we find a way out of this cul-de-sac that we have brought in ourselves in the last 200-300 years. We did not live fully our deen, and the kufr system prevailed and has used and abused the magic of the power of the financial institutions, backed by the corporate world, backed by the policing of the so-called politics, which is nothing now other than simply keeping prisons full and collecting tax to pay the banks. This is the world we are in. The good news is that Nur of Allah will prevail. If you and I see the Nur, then we begin to understand the first years of Mecca. How the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the first year surrounded by the kufr system. So we must be real. We must inwardly be joyful, outwardly do our best with consciousness, with conscientiousness, with hilm also, with patience, and do our best, accountable, accountable. Then we have performed our duty towards ourselves, towards creation, towards the Creator. They all go together. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to illumine our hearts. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to make us responsible for every step we take. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to heighten His awareness and His dhikr in our hearts, in our minds, and on our tongues. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to make us worthy of the followers of Rasulullah. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to open the light of the Quran in our hearts. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us in company of the lovers of Haqq. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah.